and head on out for their classes. And let's bless our kids as they go. Amen. And we're going to be reading from the Scriptures together, reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I invite you to read it in unison, and we'll remain standing out of respect for the Lord's Word. Let's read that together. Let's begin. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. The Lord add his blessing. The reading of His Holy Word. Please be seated, and I'll ask Ashley to come pray over the Word this morning.
Lord God, we just come to Your Word, Lord, and we're so thankful for it. Lord, we ask blessing this morning on Pastor as he comes. He's ready, Lord. He's surrendered to Your Spirit that You would just speak through him. Lord, we thank You for his dedication to us and love for us and love for Your Word. Lord, for us, we just ask that You would open our hearts, Father, that we would hear what You have to say this morning, Lord, that it wouldn't just fall on a dead heart day, but alive, that Your Word would come alive in us and we would apply it to our lives, Lord, that the world can know who You are. Lord, we also this morning just ask for a prayer for Hope, as she's a long ways away and ministering to people, even maybe now as we're speaking, Lord. And we just ask blessing on her too as well as she reaches out in Your Word. Lord, bless her and keep her safe. And we ask all this in Your beautiful name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Turn in your Bible, if you haven't already, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I appreciated the ministry of the worship team, and that last song was speaking of the day when the Lord is coming, when we hear His voice, and He calls us to Himself, and we will rise, and this day, this age, will be done, will be gone. We will be transitioned from the age that we live in to the age to come. As you look in your Bibles and the sermon this morning, and by the way, there is an outline that goes along with the sermon, if that is helpful to you, in the bulletin there. I invite you to use that, if you would. I haven't had any nice pictures here lately. You know, usually I get some scribbles, some caricatures, and I have them posted in my office, but I haven't had a few in a while. I haven't had any, and so we're about due for some new ones there. I really appreciate them, especially the funny pictures of me. Yeah. I have to tell you about one of them real quick. One of them was, it just had stick figures, people, and I was preaching on the Holy Spirit and His ministry to us, and it had the Holy Spirit coming out of Jesus, looked like a dove coming out of Him, and then the dove was going into the other person. And it looked like, you know, stick figures with airplanes hitting them, so. It was great, though. It was great. They got the concept. That child got the concept. This Jesus that we were singing about, the one who has overcome, the Lamb who was killed, sacrificed for our salvation, for our atonement, this Jesus said, I will return. A number of times in the Bible, Jesus taught that though He was leaving, He would come back again. In John 14, a familiar passage to many of you, He says, if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be with me forever. I will come back and take you to be with me. He says, I am preparing a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. I know the old King James translated it, in my Father's house are many mansions, which doesn't quite make sense. But some of us are going to get a mansion. Some of us are going to get a room. Some of us might just be out at the curb. I'm not sure. You will answer that question. You will get that reward depending on your work for the Lord. Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Luke 21, these are parallel passages where Jesus is talking to His disciples. In fact, His disciples ask Him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And He says to them, He says a lot of things to them, and we're going to read some of it a little bit later on. He says to them, false Christs, false prophets will arise. There will be great distress upon the earth. There will be signs in heaven and on the earth below. There will be great signs that will appear. Men's hearts will grow faint with terror. And so for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, His coming will be something that we welcome, something that we look forward to. In fact, at the end of Matthew 24, He says, lift up your heads and know that your redemption is drawing nigh. When you see Me coming in the clouds of glory, lift up your head and know your redemption is near. But for most of the earth, it's going to be a time of great travail and a great terror as God comes, not this time to bring salvation, but this time to bring judgment. He says to them, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power. These are the words that Jesus said. His teaching is clear. And yet, as you look at the scene of Christianity across the nation, there's not too many preachers that are focusing on the Lord's return, even though it seems like the time is drawing near. The time is drawing near than it has been before. His teaching is clear that He's going to come again. He's going to take those who know Him to be with Him forever. But what... Oh, yeah, amen to that, right? We all ought to say amen to that. He's coming back and taking us home. And then we are going to be with Him forever. But His teaching is also clear on what we are supposed to be doing until He comes again. We are to watch for His coming. We are supposed to be doing what He's called us to do while we wait and while we watch. I'm concerned that Christians as a whole have fallen into a lethargy. I'm concerned that Christians as a whole have become apathetic. I'm concerned that the church as a whole has become apathetic. The church as a whole, churches all around us, this church, you and me. Have we become apathetic? Have we become preoccupied with those things other than what Jesus has told us to be preoccupied with? And so the main point that I want to speak to you today about is that the coming of the Lord Jesus is near. It is nearer than we might think. It is nearer than it was yesterday. We're a day nearer to the Lord's coming. And we are to be prepared. We are to be occupied with the things He's told us to be occupied with. But He will not come until that rebellion occurs, as we just read, and this man of lawlessness is revealed. Let me be quick to add this. I believe we are already seeing, at least in this country, it's already happened in many of the European countries, many of Asian countries, which have turned, you know, primarily Muslim. But there has already begun a great rebellion, a falling away. It has already begun, and we see it every day as we look at the newspaper, as you read on CNN, as you see decisions being made, as you see churches that are compromising with the Word of God. You already see it. And it could be that this man of rebellion, this man of sinfulness, this man of sin, as it's called in the Scriptures, could be revealed at any time. The world is in turmoil. Look what's happening right now in the Palestinian situation and Israel. I mean, they're lobbing rockets back and forth at one another. And the UN, as you know, has called for a ceasefire. They, you know, lame. Just call, you know, ceasefire. On what basis? There has to be a ceasing of aggression, a ceasing of hostility if there's going to be a ceasefire, and that's not in place. It hasn't been for several years now, and it keeps being broken. And I'm not going to get into politics, but the point I'm making is the stage is set. What if a moderate Muslim leader began to rise up and say, peace, brothers. Peace. Peace with our neighbor Israel. Peace. We must have peace. And begin to negotiate a covenant. That's one of the signs straight from Daniel that this leader will arise and he will negotiate a covenant with Israel. That could happen at any time. The main focus of this message is that though these things are coming, a great rebellion, a great falling away is coming, and a man of sin, a man of lawlessness, a supernatural man is going to be revealed. And we're going to talk about those details. Really, my main focus is this. Because as we read, and we're going to read, no one knows that day. No one knows that day, that hour, when the Lord is coming. Did you know that? No one knows that day. And that's why it's so ludicrous when any preacher, you know, starts gathering a following, say, hey, the Lord's coming back next September. You know, as we had with our departed brother Camping. That is the most ridiculous thing. You know what's even more ridiculous? That is ridiculous and sinful in and of itself, but we had thousands of Christians that gathered around him and believed that he was correct. And you don't think that there can be a falling away? That in itself is an element of falling away. Forsaking the Lord's word. What do I mean by that? Well, look with me at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. This is, in the context, Jesus is talking about the last days and what's going to happen. And Tom Henry is going to read that scripture for us.
No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each one with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn.
Would you go back to verse 34 for me? Are you done? Sorry, Tom.
Not yet.
Finish up. Sorry.
If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Amen. I'm glad we didn't leave those verses out. It's like a man going away. Jesus is using an analogy here, and he's talking about the fact that he is going to be going away, and he's left his servants, that's you and me, in charge. And what has He given to each one of us? Go ahead and say it. An assigned task. Say it again. He has left you and me with an assigned task. And so my message today, yes, we're going to focus on the details about the Lord's coming, but He's already said, go back to verse 33 for me, Kim. He's already said, No one knows that day or that hour, not the angels in heaven, nor even the Son. Jesus didn't even know when He was going to return. Only when the Father says to Him, Son, it's time. And so the focus is not to be on the timing of the Lord's coming and the things that surround His coming. Yes, those are interesting. Those are important for us to understand so that we can be ready, we can be prepared. Because great persecution is coming to the church. Great persecution is coming to you and me. Yes, we must be prepared. But don't miss the big point, folks. He says, be about the task I've assigned to you. Don't get preoccupied with the things of this world. Don't get off track with those things that so easily occupy our attention, that so easily take away our focus. That's what He's saying to you and to me. That's what I believe the message of the Lord is to the church today. And the church, as you look at it, is way off focus. Way off focus. We seem to be focused on everything else except what the Lord has called us to do. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes I get kind of discouraged and sad. I look at, you know, every year, at the end of the year, we do an annual report. And they ask us to please report how many folks joined the church, how many folks got baptized, how many folks got saved, how many folks, you know, made a commitment to go into missions work, how many folks did this, so on and so forth. And you know, those things are interesting, and I guess they have their purposes for them, but it's a way to measure, it's a way to gauge, how are we doing? How are we doing? And so sometimes I get to put down there, okay, well this year we baptized 12. We baptized 13, 14, 15. Okay. And this year we had two or three people come to Christ. This year we had three or four people make commitments to Christ. Folks, that's pathetic! That's pathetic! And you want to know something? We're doing better than a lot of churches. A lot better. There's some churches that haven't had a convert in years. Why? Because we're not focused on the things that God has called us to be focused on until He returns. We're focused on, oh yes, He's coming, and I can't wait. I mean, hey, Jesus, beam me up out of here. I can't wait to get out of this world. Yes! This world is awful. There's a lot of terrible things going on in this world. There's a lot of pressures on people. And Jesus knows that. And He said, in this world you will have what? Great tribulation. This is not going to be easy. And so He's calling us to be ready, to be on watch, to be doing the task that He has assigned to you and to me. I think that task overall is to be about His business, to be sharing the message of the gospel with people all around us. Now, how we do that is going to be creative and it's going to be different. Some of you will be called to be missionaries. Some of you will be called to go into work full time for the Lord. Some of you will be called to stay right where you're at and share with your neighbors and share with your workmates. Some of you will be called to mercy ministries. Some of you will be called to fly planes for a mission aviation fellowship. There's various ways that it can be expressed. Some of you, the Lord has some of you, the Lord has an anointing on your life, but because you are not surrendered, you are not committed fully to the Lord, you are just cruising in cruise control. There are people that are dying all around us, and you're not talking to them. I'm not talking to them. This sermon's for me. Lord stomped on my toes this week. This message is for me. This is serious stuff, folks. We're living in serious times. If there was ever times that are not serious, it's not this time. We're in very serious times. Well, as we look at this passage here, the context where Paul says, I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't become easily unsettled or alarmed Why? Because there was supposedly a false prophecy, a report or a letter that supposedly had come from Paul and his associates. And he says, no, that's not from us. In fact, that's just hearsay. That's just a lie. It's a deception. Why is he saying that? He's saying that to them because the enemy was trying to get them off focus, just like he tries to get us off focus today. The enemy was trying to get these Christians who Paul had said to them, hey, the Lord's coming, and he's coming soon. Now, soon is a relative term, because we have our time, right? But God has his time. And whether you think your time should be God's time, it really doesn't matter. In the meantime, God says, be ready, be watching, be involved, be doing the task I've called you to do. So what's behind this? The enemy's trying to get them off track. And Paul says, listen, don't listen to any of that nonsense. That letter's not from us. I've already told you that the Lord is coming and what's going to happen when that happens, that you and I are going to be caught up. We're going to read that in just a moment. The enemy's trying to get them off focus, help them to believe a lie, get them to be ineffective, get them preoccupied with other things. Oh, if the Lord's already come, well, I guess we don't have to tell anybody about Jesus anymore. That's the same lie that he gives us today. Well, you know, the Lord's coming is probably going to, it's not going to be for 10, 20, 30 years. It might not even be my lifetime. So, you know what? I don't have to be all, passionate about all this with Jesus. I can kind of cruise. Man, I've got things to do, Lord. I've got things to accomplish, Lord. I've got to get my college done. Lord, I'm going to college for you. I've got to get that done. And you know, there's nothing wrong with going to college. And can I brag on Ashley Foss for just a minute? She probably hates that I'm going to say this. But you know, Ashley Foss, spring break, you know what? She went on a missions trip down to Panama City to evangelize on the beach. Spring break. That's how she spent her spring break. And then just in the summer, a few weeks ago, she was down in Ocean City. What was the name of the group? A missionary goes down to Ocean City to share Christ with those hanging out at the beach. How novel. Yeah, and there's people down there at the beach. Have you ever seen those beautiful sand sculptures? I mean, that's awesome, right? What a great way to start a conversation. But okay, but folks, that's just a small example of what we should be doing. There's nothing wrong with going to college. Hey, I've got to work, right? I've got to work and earn a living. I understand that. I do that too. But in the midst of that, we have to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. Now listen, and this is where it connects with my sermon last week, you will not know what you should be doing unless you are seeking the Lord, you're surrendered in your life to Him and say, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. And guess what? When He says it, you actually do it. When He says to you, go share with that neighbor, as he's done to me at times. And I'm like, ah, Lord, you know, I've invited them, I've talked to them, they're not interested, they don't, you know, every time I start talking about Jesus, they just kind of change the subject. Stop justifying yourself. Stop wiggling and squirming out of it. Just do it. Just do it. Leave the results up to God. Brenda, she probably wouldn't mind me sharing this. I've asked her permission, but she's not here, so I'm going to do it anyway. We were talking about this last evening, and Brenda said, yeah, you know, I see your point. She was asking me a couple clarifying questions, and she said, I see your point that, you know, you have to be surrendered, because we were talking about last week's message. I talked about the need to be surrendered. You need to be in repentance. She said, I don't quite get that. I said, well, if you're not repenting, which means I'm turning away from myself, what I want to do, right? Repentance means I agree with God and I turn away with the things that I want to do. And I'm agreeing that these are the things, Lord, you're calling me to do, and I will do them. So surrender means, yes, I will do them. Well, a few weeks ago, actually several months now, you all know Brenda, and she's not an extrovert, and she's not one who, you know, really likes to put herself out there, and, you know, so she got a call from Ashley. And Ashley said that a mutual friend had bumped into a young lady who was basically homeless. And met this young lady, I think it's down at the Graysonville 7-Eleven. And, this person, this friend, and I don't remember who it was, Ashley, who was that? So it's somebody, just somebody that knew Ashley was a minister of the gospel and knew that there's a church full of folks that might help and just said, you know, this young lady needs help. And Ashley thought, well, who could I get to help this young lady? Because it's not appropriate for a man to help this young lady. Can I say that again? It's not appropriate for a man to try to help a young lady, try to disciple a young lady, try to bring a young lady along. That's not appropriate. Men are to take care of men, and women are to disciple and teach women. And that's the way the Scripture says it. And if you don't like it, take it up with God. That's His Word. If you don't like it, argue with God. I'm just the messenger. And so Ashley calls Brenda. He says, who can I get to help this young lady out? And so Ashley calls Brenda. And Brenda gets off the phone, and she's like, I don't know about this. You know, why'd he call me? And, you know, because Brenda just, she just doesn't like to, especially folks she doesn't know, people she doesn't know, she just, that's not her. She's very uncomfortable. They're pushing her way outside her comfort zone. But you know what? She said yes. I'm very proud of her. She said yes. And she began to minister to this young lady over the course of months. And at times we've given you a little bit of reports and asked you to pray for her and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, you know, she has kind of drifted out of Brenda's life. Brenda continues to pray for her, but she's not responding to her calls and her outreach. What if Brenda had said no? Oh, by the way, there were several times in the course of those interactions that she heard the gospel. Several times. In fact, we had tried to get another pastor involved with her, and that pastor spent time and talked with her as well. So that girl knows the gospel. She knows it now. And maybe the Lord is beginning to work in her heart. It takes some time, doesn't it? Sometimes He has to get through that thick skull of ours, that hard skull and that hard heart, doesn't it? It takes sometimes some work to get through it, you know? And so, rather than being preoccupied with other things, Brenda gave time to this girl. Now, guess what? It was not convenient. In fact, it was very inconvenient. There were times that she would call, we'd have just settled down for the evening. You know, it'd be like 9:30, and we just have kicked our feet up, and we're relaxing, and you know, in a few minutes getting ready for bed, and ring, there goes the phone. She needs a ride home from work. Yeah, that's what we said. You know how y'all are when you got your feet kicked up. You said what everybody was thinking. You know, and you know it. It's not going to be a short ride. It's going to be, you know, here, everything that's going on top of it all, you know. But she did it. She did it. She sacrificed time because guess what? She knows that's what the Lord is calling her to. What is the Lord calling you to? What is it that the Lord is calling you to? Now listen, you won't know unless you have finally come to that place where you're settled down and you're not so preoccupied with everything else that you can't even hear the Lord. I think that is one of the major... Why do you think the enemy tried to send this false prophecy, this false report to these people, to these Christians? Why do you think he did that? You see, the enemy doesn't come at us directly. He doesn't say to them, oh, the Lord's not coming. Right? Because, I mean, that's such a blatant lie. The Christians would have said, oh, what? Forget that. That's ridiculous. Forget you. Whoever gave that report. So he doesn't say that, does he? He says, the Lord's already come. You don't have to worry about it, brother. You don't have to worry about it, sister. The Lord's already come. Just relax. Don't get in such an uproar about this Jesus thing. Just, you know, enjoy. Hey, the Lord's got it all in control. He's going to do it all anyway. If He's in control, if He's sovereign, He's going to choose who He wants to be saved anyway. So we don't even need to say nothing. That's another lovely church doctrine. God is so omnipotent that we don't have to do nothing. God's going to save who He wants to save, so we don't need to say nothing. Really? Then why does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are His ambassadors? We speak for God, that we try to persuade men. Add that into your theology. So he tries to get them off track, and he tries to do the same thing with you and me. Oh, you know what? You can take on that additional task. You can take on that additional responsibility. Don't worry. You know what? Jesus understands. Jesus is very understanding, isn't He? He's just so nice. Jesus is just so kind, and He is understanding. He won't mind a bit if you take a second job, and you will be so strapped for time that you'll neglect your family, which is your first ministry, by the way, making sure your family's saved, your children are saved, your wife is saved, your husband is saved. That's your first priority. But don't worry about all that. Jesus has got it under control. Isn't that what we say? Oh, it got awful quiet in here. Isn't that what even we don't say it, isn't that the way we live? That's the way we live. Oh, I've got time for everything else. I'll make a phone call. Hey, do you think you could disciple such person? You know, they're a brand new believer. They need to be discipled. Oh, Pastor, I just don't have time for that. I've got so much going on. I just can't. I'm sorry, Pastor. I can't do that. Hey, we're having an evangelism outreach. Hey, we're having special prayer. Oh, Pastor, I really want to be there, but I'm sorry, I can't. I just got too much going on. I got too much going on. And the days and the months click by. We are already half past half a year in 2014. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. If I were to ask you the question right now, how many people so far this year, 6 months have passed in this year, how many people have you talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ in 6 months of this year? Oh, this is painful. It is painful for me. I'm going to make it painful for you. Painful for me as I'm preparing for the Word. I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, You're hurting me, Lord. I'm preaching to myself, folks. How many people have I told about the Lord Jesus this year, 6 months of this year? Well, let's break it down in the few more minutes that we have. I know I've gone a little bit long, and we're going to have to turn this to a series. Background. What is the Lord's coming? We are not to be deceived about the Lord's coming. Paul does not want them ignorant. He does not want us ignorant about the Lord's coming. It's also called the Day of the Lord. The background is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're in the Bible there, turn back one book. And you know, we read this last week. And it's okay to read it again because we need to become familiar with these passages. And the reason that I'm emphasizing this is because, yes, we need to understand these things, but again, we need to be about His business, preoccupied with the things of the Lord. Beginning at verse 12, I believe it is. 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him, those who have died in Christ. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will not, certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the dead in Christ are going to rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The Lord is coming, and those who have died in Him are going to be raised first. But those of us who remain will be caught up with them in the air to be with Jesus. Now here's the catch. We're very thankful that we're included in that number. Amen? I'm going to be caught up in the air, and I'm going to go and be with Jesus, and it says forever. Forever! That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about forever. We get to be with Jesus. He's going to let us share in His glory. That's what I was preaching about 2 weeks ago. He's going to let us share in His glory. He wants us to partner with Him now. So as you're going up, man, grab a sinner on the right and a sinner on the left and tell them to accept Jesus as you're going up. Because if they won't, tell them you're going to drop them. I'm just kidding. Just trying to make sure you're awake. Some of y'all sliding off. But we're thankful that we're in this number. Are you thankful? Amen? What about those all around you that are not in that number? What about those that don't know? What about those that, you know, they need to have this encouragement, this good news that Jesus has died for them, and it's all done, it's all finished. All they have to do is receive that gift from Him and follow Him. It's for them, it's for you, it's for me. What about those folks? As I'm thinking about this, sometimes we Christians are the most selfish people ever. Because we have this incredible good news, and yet we don't share it. We don't tell people about it. And I know it's not that simple. I know you try to tell people and they rebuff you and they don't want to hear it. But you know, it doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you stop trying. You know, what about Jesus with the disciples? What if Jesus had the attitude that we have sometimes? I mean, you know, the disciples were a bunch of knuckleheads. You know, He teaches them. He bears His heart with them. And at the end of this wonderful teaching session, there's Peter and John. Jesus, can we sit on your right and your left? And Jesus is like, oh, Father. What if He got frustrated like we get frustrated? What if He gets discouraged like we discouraged and just said, you know what? I just can't do this. This is too difficult, Lord. I'm coming back up to You. We'll have to come up with plan B. But Jesus knew there wasn't any plan B. And guess what, folks? There is no plan B for us with bringing people to Christ. There is no plan B. And Jesus says, I want you to be occupied with the things that I've called you to do. We read in verse 8, back to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. We read in verse 8 that this man of sin is going to be overthrown by the Lord Jesus. Destroyed. He's going to destroy him. With the breath of His mouth, the splendor of His coming. And guess what? We're with Him. That's glorious. That's glorious, folks. It's incredible when you think about it. But in the meantime, what are we doing? What are we doing? There's nothing wrong. I mean, we have to work. I know that. And you can't, you know, if you stand out on the street corner and just preach Jesus all the time, then, you know, you could probably go eat in the soup kitchen. And maybe God's calling you to do, some of you to do that. I'm not sure, but, you know, you have to work to earn a living. If you own a house, you got to pay for it. You know, if you own cars, numerous cars, like I do, you have to pay for them. You know, we have to do these things. But what are we doing with our free time? I was back here working on one of the cars that I have. It was the other day. And I'm focused. I'm trying to get this done. I don't have a whole lot of time and trying to get it done, you know. And I hear voices. You know, I'm in the warehouse area and the door's open and I hear voices. And a guy's walking over across the back of the parking lot there and he's got a little girl. And they're walking over and I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to get into a conversation here. I'm trying to get this done. You know, I've been working at it. It's frustrating. You know, I really want to get this done, Lord. But here comes this guy calling. I just look up. I say, hey, how you doing? And I go back to my work here. And the guy says, oh, hey, how you doing, man? And what you doing? I'm like, oh. And in that moment, I had to choose. Am I going to turn back and focus on this car and the silly thing that I'm doing with it, whatever it is? Am I going to talk to this fellow who's approaching me? I mean, you know, you don't get a lot of folks that are, especially me, to take one look at me and say, who are you and what are you doing here? But he's approaching me. So we start talking and kind of find out that his girlfriend, this is her little girl, and they go over to the playground and we're chatting just a little bit. Well, guess what? Here comes the grandfather. He comes walking across. And he introduces himself, and the fellow goes over to the playground, and we start talking, and before you know it, we're talking about the things of the Lord. Come to find out, he knew the Novaks, who were founding members of this church. And we start talking about them, and we start talking about the Lord, and how the church is really sliding away from Jesus. Right? A few minutes later, his daughter comes walking up. He introduces me to his daughter, and we chat a little bit. I introduce myself, and she has a little girl. And guess what? She wants her little girl to come to our VBS. You see what I would have missed? You see what I would have missed? Now, you know, I didn't get to share the gospel in some great fashion, you know, and that they fell on their knees and got saved in that moment. Now, it didn't happen like that. But, you know, planted some seed, had some conversation, showed that I cared, that they were important. More important than my stupid car. How are you doing in that? How are you doing in the things that preoccupy your life? Are you putting God first? Are you doing what Jesus called you to do? Folks, there's a lot of things that pull for our attention today, and we can get so preoccupied in them. I understand and I know. I am just like you. I am not up here saying that I've arrived. I am just as at fault at times as all of us are. So preoccupied. All about me. Me, 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 me. I get so sick of myself sometimes. I gotta be honest with you. I get so sick of myself. You wonder why sometimes I kneel down here, make an altar before the Lord and cry out to Him because I am sick of myself. I know what my heart is like. I know, like that hymn says, prone to wander. You give me half a second and I wander. Oh, Pastor, I thought you were Spirit-filled, surrendered, Pastor. I am. But my old flesh still rises up within me, and I've got to crucify that thing. What about you? What's the Lord saying to you? What does He is calling you to lay down at that altar? In a minute, we're going to close, but I'm going to open the altar here. I think some of us need to come make an altar before the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. What will people think of me? Well, they might think that you're finally surrendering your life to the Lord. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? So worried about what people think. Who cares what people think? Who cares? What about what God thinks of me? What about what Jesus thinks of me with the things that I'm doing in my life? What about that? Some of us need to be broken before the Lord. And I can't do that, folks. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I could be up here preaching all day, but if you are going to harden your heart to the Holy Spirit and what He's calling you to do, I can't do anything about that. But you can. Today is a day for you to say, Lord, I want to renew my commitment, my surrender to You. Lord, I have been preoccupied with many, many, many things, but I know I need to be preoccupied with Your things. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You, Lord, humbly, broken. Lord, You know my heart, You know my life. And Lord, I humble myself before You. Lord, I humble myself before this people. Lord, You've called us to be broken and humble and contrite. Lord, that is the one You said You will not despise. You will esteem. the one who is humble and contrite. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And so, Lord, I'm renewing my commitment, my surrender to You. Let's all stand together. Let's sing that beautiful chorus, "Change My Heart, O God." Change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. You are the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. I'm going to close the service. And if you want to join me here at the altar to renew and commit yourself fresh to the Lord, maybe you need to surrender. Maybe there's something the Lord's calling you to. I invite you to come. Invite you to come. We're going to sing that chorus again, and then I'm going to close the service. But you come. As I sing, as we sing this closing song, you come. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. Change my heart. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. You are the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. I'm going to give this microphone to one of our elders, Dean Rhodes. I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer. You can still join me in the front.
Lord Jesus, we come before You this morning. Lord, we thank You for the message the pastor brought to us. Lord, we raise this congregation to You, Lord. We ask that You will bestow on our hearts, Lord, to abide by Your commands, Lord. Lord, we raise them all to You. We ask You to pour Your blessings upon them. Give them the strength, Lord, and the guidance to understand and to come forth, Lord, and to share the Word with others. Go out into the community and just give other people Your message, Lord. We raise it all to You in Your holy, sweet name. In Jesus' name, amen.